thought we're gonna do for a moment, you know it. You know what it is. You know what it is. I am sustained by the love of God. Everything you think you know about church, you're not in church. The church is in you. So don't let this building affect your reaction. Except, you know, appreciate it, maybe.
I'm going to talk about what are the role that words play in healing. I talked about that Wednesday, but it's so powerful that I want to do it again, but deeper. It's in the teacher's manual. There's always just, you know, we talk about affirmations, chanting, visualizing, affirming, changing your way of speaking. Well, I'm going to talk about the part of the course that talks about what is the role of words in healing. And I'd like to ask you all to be friendly. Would you be friendly?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be friendly?
Yeah.
Be neighborly?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do a practice run.
Okay. I'll practice.
A few solid pussies, but this one. Okay, let's see here. This is the instructions. Remember only this, you need not believe the ideas, you need not accept the ideas, you need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist, some of the ideas you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all, you are not asked to judge the ideas at all, you are not asked to judge the ideas at all, you are not asked to judge the ideas at all, you are not asked to judge the ideas at all. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you. Their use will show you that the ideas are true. Got that?
Yeah.
So you don't have to believe it. We just listening. You can tell me what page we're on. Okay. It's right at the end of the book, so it's kind of hard to keep it open. What is the role of words in healing? I'm going to read the section, then we'll go back through what it's saying. What is the role of words in healing? Strictly speaking, words play no part at all in healing. The motivating factor is prayer or asking. That's what brings about the healing. What you ask for, you receive. But what you ask for, you receive refers to the prayer of the heart, not to the words you use in praying. Sometimes the words in the prayer are contradictory. Sometimes the words in the prayer agree. It doesn't matter. God does not understand words.
Well,
haven't you noticed?
Yeah. It's a big secret.
God doesn't understand words. Let me tell you what words. Words were made by separated minds. Words were made by separated minds to keep them in the illusion of separation. Words can be helpful, particularly for the beginner, in helping concentration and facilitating the exclusion, or at least to control the extraneous thoughts. Let's not forget, however, that words are the symbols of symbols. That means that words are twice removed from reality. So, as symbols, words have quite specific references. Even when the words seem most abstract, the picture that comes to mind is apt to be very concrete. Unless a specific reference does occur to your mind in conjunction with the word has little or no practical meaning and thus cannot help the healing process. The prayer of the heart doesn't really ask for concrete things. The prayer of the heart always requests some kind of experience. The specific things asked for being the bringers of the desired experience in the opinion of the asker. The words then are symbols for the things asked for, but the things themselves would stand for the experiences that are hoped for. The prayer for things of this world will bring experiences of this world. The prayer for things of this world will bring experiences of this world. If the prayer of the heart asks for experiences of this world, this will be given because this will be received. It's impossible that the prayer of the heart remain unanswered in the perception of the one who asks. If you ask for the impossible, if you want what doesn't exist, if you seek for illusions in your heart, all this becomes your own. The power of your decision offers it to you as you request. Herein lie hell and heaven. You, the sleeping Son of God, has but this power left to you, the power of decision. The power of decision is enough. Your words don't matter. Really, only the word of God has any meaning, because the word of God symbolizes that which has no human symbols at all. The Holy Spirit alone understands what this word stands for, and this too is enough. So, is the teaching of God then to avoid the use of words in his teaching? No, indeed. There are many who must be reached through words. There are many who must be reached through words because they're unable to hear in silence. The teacher of God, you must, however, learn to use words in a new way. That means you gradually learn how to let your words be chosen for you. You do that by ceasing to decide for yourself what you will say. This process of letting your words be chosen for you is merely a special case of the lesson in the workbook that says, I will step back and let God lead the way. The teacher of God, that's you, the teacher of love, you accept the words that are offered you, and then you give the words as you receive the words. You don't control the direction of your speaking. You listen within, you hear, and you speak. A major hindrance in this aspect of your learning is your fear about the validity of what you hear. And what you hear may indeed be quite startling. What you hear may also seem to be quite irrelevant to the presented problem as you perceive it, and may in fact confront you, the teacher, with a situation that appears to be very embarrassing to you. All these are judgments that have no value. These judgments are your own, coming from a shabby self-perception. I say a shabby self-perception, which you would leave behind. I'm going to pick somebody up. You said, you shabby self-perception. I got a shabby self-perception, too, which I want to leave behind. Judge not the words that come to you. Offer the words in confidence. The words are far wiser than your own. God's teachers have God's words behind their words, which is their symbols. And God himself will give the words you use the power of God's Spirit, raising those words that you're using from meaningless symbols to the call of heaven itself. Now, that'd be a heck of a conversation to have at a party. I had one of those last night, as a matter of fact. Really? I met this young lady, and she was so awake, I just stopped in the middle. I just looked at her. She was sitting next to me at the dinner table, and I said, you are so awake. My God, you know. It's like, whew, man, it was great. It's great. I'm glad that that happens, that you can just, without any outward effort on your part, just draw to you exactly what coincides and harmonious with you.
You know, because the words, okay, let's talk about words, because everybody's like hung up on words, you know. A lot of times you say words, people feel compelled to correct you and tell you you shouldn't say that word. What I'd like to ask people in my life to do is don't correct me. Let me say what I have to say the way I want to say it. So you really learn what I think and feel. Because if you keep cutting me off, I'm going to stop talking to you. If you keep correcting me, which is telling me I'm wrong, because I didn't say it the way that you would say it, then there's no point in trying to communicate with you. Before long, everybody stops talking to you, and then they disappear, and you wonder where they went. So trying to be a doctor corrector, what I call myself when I'm being that. A doctor corrector. Nobody can say anything without me fixing. Oh, don't say that now. Don't say that. You know, words are manifest. Don't you say that. Say it this way. Don't use that contraction. You know, your house will blow up if you use a contraction. You got to be positive. You know, if you don't say it positive, So, what is the role of words? Well, I'd like to clear that up right now by saying to you that words don't play any part at all in healing. What really matters is what you're asking. And your prayer of your heart and the words you use may not have nothing to do with each other. You may say that you really want a relationship, be totally afraid of having a relationship, so you're using the words to ask for it, but in your heart, you're scared to death and you don't want one. Mm-hmm. What you say and what you're praying for may not be the same thing. What you want in your heart and what you're asking for in words may not be the same thing. And God doesn't understand words, because we made up words. They have nothing to do with reality. Words were just made by our little separated minds to keep us into the false idea that we're different from each other. So we use words to emphasize differences. We use words to make labels, and so we take everything that's one and we divide it up into words and names. So the purpose of words and names is to keep us in separation and make us think we're different. Now, you're a woman and I'm a man, you're a white woman, I'm a black man, you're a tall woman, I'm a short man. You know, we got all these labels and stuff to make us think we're different, rather than realize that we're just one. We're just the one, whatever it is, expressing itself in a multitude of ways, in a variety of expressions. We're just the one, whatever it is. And the one, whatever it is, the Course says, is love, which is God. So love doesn't understand words, because when you're dealing with love, the words you use don't matter, because it's not going to affect the love. When you're dealing with love, words really don't matter, because it won't affect the love. There's no need for me to understand words if I love you. I know it may seem like that's hard to get, but that's because we haven't experienced real love, many of us, yet. So we're still thinking of the kind we made up, and in terms of the kind of love we made up, what I just said doesn't make sense. But I'm telling you, in terms of what we've been taught, most of the things I'm going to say will not make sense. So it's important not to compare what I'm teaching with what you've already learned, because you're just going to disorient and confuse yourself. But if you think of it as just another way of thinking that you're taking a look at, then it won't be so confusing. Okay, so just trust me. If there's love involved, there's no need for words. So the first thing the Course says, well, then what are words good for? Then if you follow the paragraph, Spirit turns around and says, well, I tell you what words are helpful for, especially for beginners. He says, what's cool about words for beginners is that words help facilitate concentration. And when you use words, it helps you keep the thoughts you don't want to think out of your mind. If I say that I am spirit and I'm focusing on those words, then it helps to exclude words that say I'm just a body, or that something's wrong with me, or that something's bad about me. If I claim abundance for myself, well, that's helping me to keep lack thoughts away from my mind. Words just help facilitate concentration, and they help you focus. That's the beauty of words. So the words you use determine your focus. Does that make sense for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. And so the Course is saying but they're twice removed from reality, because they're not really talking about anything directly. When you see my body is the symbol of separation. When you look at me, the fact that I think I am Earl Purdy, I have to have something to be separate in. My body is for me to be separate from you in. So the body is a symbol that we're different and we're separate. So you look at the body, that's a symbol of separation. You call it Earl. So that's twice removed from reality. First you call in this body me, and then this body is a symbol of separation. So separation is what's happening. But the words we use are two steps removed from reality.
When you call me Earl, that's a mistake. When you call me a body, that's a mistake. But it's a common mistake. So feel okay about that.
Okay, I'm just here to tell you I'm not a body. I'm not a human being named Earl. That's just the form that I'm taking for convenience. It's the way I move around in this experience. It's to call myself the labels that we all agree on so we can talk to each other. But if we loved each other, it wouldn't be necessary. What do you need to judge for except if you're deciding whether or not to love? But if I'm already loving, there's no need to judge. What do I give you? What I want. How do I treat you? How I want to be treated. What do I give you? The freedom I desire. What do I give you? The safety I want. What do I do? I support you in who you are. If it was love involved, I wouldn't need to ask any questions because all I'd be doing is loving. So the Course is saying what created us doesn't understand our words. But we use words to keep us separate from each other. But so now we're going to use words to help us concentrate on what we really want to see happen and manifest and perceive in ourselves. Got that? Okay, so the Course then says, well, unless the word I say to you brings up some picture in your mind, the word doesn't mean anything to you. So if I say something to you and you don't have any kind of reference to that word, it won't mean anything to you. I do astrological charts. If I say Uranus is conjunct Saturn today, how you feel about that? Right. Notice there was no reference, so it didn't mean anything. Now, what does that teach you? Well, it teaches you that's true about all words, which means even the words that you think you understand are just the words you gave meaning to. You hadn't given any meaning to this, and so you had no way to judge it. So I want you to hear that again. The same thing is true about all the words and your reaction to all words. What you're reacting to is the meaning that you're giving to the words. The words have no meaning. If I said Saturn conjunct Uranus meant that you could have a sudden unexpected experience that blows you away, now when I said Saturn conjunct Uranus, you go, oh, because now there's a meaning. Without the meaning, it wouldn't have affected you emotionally. So all of your emotional reactions are coming from the meanings that you're giving, the things that you're telling yourself all the time. If you're upset about something, is you upsetting yourself about it? If you're mad about something, is you making yourself mad about it? Because you're the one that's giving the meaning to the words that you're telling yourself in your mind. And so the Course in Miracles is saying, let me give you some new meanings. Let me give you some new meanings. Please let me give you some new meanings. You're in sore, dire need of new meanings. Let me give you some new meanings. Please let me give you some new meanings. And some new meanings that are based on love and not fear. And these new meanings will sound alien and they'll be hard to believe and even quite startling. But since you know it's the meanings that you give to things that's determining the way you feel, if you want to feel good, you got to give things a new meaning.
Yes.
And words help you concentrate on the meanings you like to give. Right?
Right?
Yeah. This stuff is so cool. If you have trouble forgiving people, okay, here's a meaning. If you have trouble forgiving people, you still remember the person getting in line when you were in the fifth grade in front of you in the cafeteria. You hold on to things a little long time.
Pretty long.
We do it, though. It's ridiculous. Okay? You say, if you're having trouble forgiving people, pretend the next time you talk to them, it's their last day on earth. At the very least, you'll be happy. That, here's the meaning. You are not at the mercy of hidden drives or unknown programs. You have the ability to look inside and find the answer. So I'm not at the mercy of my unknown programs. See, that's a meaning. That's a cool meaning. Check this out. Make it a commitment to yourself. Make it a commitment to yourself means listening to your feelings from moment to moment and acting on what is right for you in present time. Making a commitment to yourself means listening to your feelings from moment to moment and then acting on what is right for you at the present time. Do you know that acting on what is right for you at the present time is listening to your feelings from moment to moment?
Don't feel about me the way you did yesterday. I need to know how you feel about me from moment to moment so that you can act on what's right for you right now. See, we might have had an argument yesterday, but we're not arguing now. So why don't we act like we're not arguing now? I know it's not that we can't understand sanity. It's just never been presented to us. It's amazing how you can tell people the truth. It's not like you have to have a background in the truth. It's like all of us know the truth. It's just we just don't ever hear it. Like, of course I need to deal with you in the way of how you're relating to me right now and not the way that I thought you related to me last night, because that's gone. So every time I'm focusing on you in terms of what you were last night, I'm actually relating to somebody that's not there.
So do we believe in ghosts? You're darn right we do. Because we're always talking to people that's not there.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, but I'm really talking to my old girlfriend. You know, you just met me, but I'm your old boyfriend.
You projecting on me, I'm just like him. You know, I know what you like, I know what all of you all like. No, you don't. You ever been with me? Don't say I'm like whatever that guy's name was. I'm not him. You'll miss me if you're busy dealing with him.
You know, most of the time, Tessa, when I want a relationship, I just want to join with my fantasies and uninterrupted bliss.
Yeah. I just wanted my fantasy to come true. I just hope you'd be the next one that kind of acted out.
I didn't mind you being quiet, because unless you said, unless you interfere with my plan. It's a funny thing. There's not a whole lot of women come to my class and try to quote me.
I don't have that problem that a lot of teachers have.
No, I'm going to keep you at a distance, brother. Always. Always. That's okay. That's good. That works a good deal. Yeah, we all love each other. You know, the safest way to love each other right now. Now, we're doing it. This is it.
Don't talk.
This is it. Yeah, don't talk. Don't talk unless you're going to share words that have meaning. You know, like, you are innocent, you are powerful, you are abundant, you do deserve to be happy, you are free, you are cute. You know, you are a child of God, you are loved, you are supported, you are united, you're not alone. You are infinite, you are eternal, you are juicy, you are sweet. You know, you have a call for love, you make errors, you make mistakes, but mistakes will be corrected. You know, you deserve to be happy. See, we know when somebody's telling us the truth, but the problem is we just won't accept it until we think we deserve it. So as long as somebody tells you something that you don't believe about yourself, you're going to be suspicious of them. If I tell you something you don't believe about yourself, if I say you're gorgeous and beautiful and you don't believe it, then you're going to be tempted to doubt my sincerity. But if I tell you that you're not enough and you're kind of pitiful, and you never been it, then if you believe that about yourself, you think I'm being honest with you. And then you'll go out with me. But the other guy, he's suspect because he said that stuff about I was a cool person. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's
insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it is insane. And that's why we're here, because we want to let go of the insanity. So let's talk about the healing process then. Okay, so the Course says that whenever you're asking for the prayer of your heart, then you're not really asking for a physical, concrete thing. Whenever you ask for something in your heart, he says you're asking for some kind of an experience. And the thing that you're asking for is the thing that you think is going to bring you the experience. So I'm asking for an experience of joy. I think going out with Judy is going to give me the joy, so I'll ask to go out with Judy. Joy's on the way. But see, then I really was asking for a really wonderful time, but the words I used was what I thought was going to bring me the wonderful time that I wanted. Both of you say. But, okay, you got me on that.
Yeah.
So words don't do anything, but they're just symbols for the things that you want to experience. So all we're really doing in any prayer that we make according to the courts is we're asking for an experience. The only thing we're asking for, all the things we ask for, is an experience. If I lose anybody, let me know. Because these are simple concepts, so they're very difficult to grasp. Of course, there's nothing. He says simplicity. I love this quote. Simplicity is very difficult for the twisted mind. That's one of the statements in the book. And I see that. So you tell me something simple, I'm going to act like that's really hard to understand. I say it again. No matter what you ask for, you're really asking for an experience. If you ask for a big widescreen TV so that you can watch the Super Bowl, you're really asking for an experience of watching the Super Bowl. You're asking for an experience. The thing you're asking for is what you think is going to give you that experience. And then the course reduces it even further by saying there are only two kinds of experiences that you can have. Loving experiences or frightening experiences, which is the same as saying innocent experiences or guilty experiences, experiences that bring abundance or experiences that bring lack, experiences that bring peace or experiences that bring attack. You can only have experiences that bring lack or experiences that bring abundance. You can only have experiences that bring sanity or insanity. So no matter what I'm asking for one of those two experiences through that thing. Okay?
Sure.
Okay? So the course then goes on to say, whenever you pray for things of this world, that's cool. That's not bad. It doesn't mean anything is wrong with you, but it's just going to bring you an experience of the world. So if you ask for something of the world, it's nothing to feel guilty about, but if you ask for something of the world, just know that it's going to bring you an experience of the world. Now, an experience of the world, as you well know, is always an experience that is bringing you fear or bringing you love. It's either bringing you conflict or it's bringing you peace. We've been here long enough to know that there aren't but two experiences of the world that you had all your life. And that's either you've been satisfied or you've been thought you were dissatisfied. Those are the only two experiences you had since the day you were born. And then all the things you've asked for have been the ways that you've decided to give yourself happiness. So everything you ask for is your way of trying to give yourself the experience of happiness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Course says you need to remember then that if you ask for something unreal, then you're going to experience something unreal. If you ask for something that's temporary, you're going to receive something that's temporary. So in this world, we ask for temporary experiences. In the real world, we ask for eternal experiences. When you love yourself, you never want your love to end. When you are in fear, you want everything to be temporary. Thank goodness. Right? So the Course is saying that the last power that we have in this plane is the power of decision, the power of choice. That we're these unlimited beings who have used our words and meanings to lose awareness of our true spiritual identity. So the only thing we have left now is the power of decision. You have the power to choose, and you have the power to choose how you're going to see things, and how you see things determine what you experience.
Man.
So the last power that any of us have, we just have the power to, I don't care what's going on in your life right now, you got the power to choose. You have the power to decide. And you're only deciding between peace and conflict, and the solution you come up with is the thing you think is going to give you the experience. Why don't you just ask for the experience? Why don't you just ask for the experience of abundance? Why don't you just ask for the experience of love? Why don't you just ask for the experience of peace? Why not ask for the experience? Because it's the experience and it's the content that will create the form that will bring itself to you. You know, love will go out and get the people that can give you love. Love will go out and get the job that you will enjoy. Let the content choose the form instead of you choosing the form trying to force the content through it. We choose the form, the body, the person, the situation, and try to force the happiness through it rather than say, happiness, do your thing. Go out there and grab every happy thought, feeling, emotion, thing, person, experience you can possibly find and bring it back to me. And what I'm going to be doing in the meantime is preparing myself to receive by learning how to forgive and let go of all the blocks that would keep me from believing I deserve you happiness when you show up. See, my job is to prepare myself to receive it. Mm-hmm. But no, I know it's coming through you, and unless it comes through you, I'm not going to let myself have it. Because I've chosen it's going to be you. You know, regardless of the fact whether or not you have a restraining order out on me, I don't care. It's going to be you. It's got to be you. You know, I remember one time in my life that I would look at a woman's butt and want her.
I know y'all ain't looking at me like I'm crazy, but you know you've done it.
Every one of you know you looked at body parts to choose people, but then you look at me like I'm saying something. Like, really? Look at the body part? I always go for the mind. That's a lie. You know you don't always go for the mind. You go for the butt and the arms and the legs and the car and the house and the clothes and the prestige and the money and the education and the spirituality. You know what I'm saying? So the point that I'm making in saying that was that I asked for an illusion and I got it. I got the butt, but the butt didn't last. I got the body, but it didn't last. I got exactly what the course says. You're going to get an experience of the world, and an experience of the world is always temporary. You're going to have a temporary great relationship, a temporary job you like, a temporary car you like, a temporary financial situation you like, a temporary something about you that you like, and then you go right to something that you don't like. That's an experience of the world. The experience of the world is an experience of love and fear.
Wow.
I didn't say you were bad. I didn't say I was bad. I didn't say you were guilty. I didn't say I was guilty. I was just saying we were making choices that brought us fear and love.
Wow.
And you know this is true. That's what the Course in Miracles freaks me out, because really anybody hearing the Course in Miracles correctly, like right now, is that a thing I say to you that you couldn't see that's true right in this moment by just being honest with yourself? You just have to be totally dishonest with yourself to say you don't get what I just said. Like the words that upsetting you that you're giving them the meaning to, you know you believe that's true.
Totally.
You also know you believe that unless you can have some kind of reference that comes to mind when I say something to you, it doesn't mean anything to you. You know you only have you're asking for experiences when you say you want something or when you want somebody, and you also know that experience is either love or it's either fear. You know that we use names and words, and if these names and words are not real, why? Because you knowing my name doesn't tell you nothing about me.
Yeah.
And if it was real, you'd know me.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that's real is moving you toward knowing me. Anything that's unreal doesn't have any meaning to you. So if I just say Earl, it doesn't mean anything to you until you give a meaning to it. You know, when I taught in the South, there would be some people that would walk into my class, and if the minute they saw that my body was a nice, luscious, chocolatey color, they would turn around and leave. And then there'll be some people that they come in, and so they saw my body was a nice, luscious, caramel, chocolatey color. That's what would make them want to stay.
It's but what I stayed, Earl.
Thank you. And what does Earl always say? Thank you for your correct perception. Because I can tell when somebody's seeing me correctly. If they see me correctly, there's some joy coming down. There's some joining coming down. There's some peace coming down. There's some safety coming down. You know what I'm saying? We know the difference between the two, but we pretend like we don't know the difference between love and fear. We pretend that we don't know if the person loves us or not that we're with. We pretend like we don't know whether or not we're in the right job. We pretend like we don't know what to do with the person that we're upset with. We know it's just a matter of motivation. Of course, everything is just a matter of motivation. Am I motivated to forgive my daddy? That's the issue. It's not that I don't know what to do with my daddy. It's that am I motivated? So the Course tells us that if you ask for something in your heart, you're going to receive it. If you ask for something in your heart, you're going to receive it. If you ask for something in your heart, you're going to receive it. And he says that when you're listening to something that's real from spirit, it says it doesn't have any human symbols at all. When you start moving it to the reality and to real love and real truth, you're going to find, much to your amazement, you won't have any words to describe it. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with somebody you really love, it'll be like, I really can't describe this. Mm-hmm. All I can say is it's unlike anything I've ever experienced. That's the kind of stuff you do. You go, I'm trying to tell you, but I just can't put it into words, because the truth is beyond human symbols, because human symbols are based on temporariness, beginnings and endings, love and fear, suspicion and trust. Mm-hmm. human symbols are just don't stand up to the real deal. The worst thing I can do for anybody is give them human love. Because human love is fickle, and it goes up and down depending on whether or not you think the person deserves it or the person thinks you deserve it. It's not real. It has no stick-to-itiveness. It has no loyalty. It has no consistency. It's all based on fear. The fear of loss. There's not enough. So I got to grab it here and I got to hang on to it for dear life because there's not enough.
Yeah.
Or if you don't give it to me, then I think I'm not loved and I lose my self-esteem because you're not telling me how wonderful I am every day. It's human love. I need a constant fix every day. It's human love. It doesn't last. It dissolves. It's like a meal I eat and I'm hungry again the next day. Human love. You know, you have an insatiable appetite for unreal love. You can't never have enough of it because it's not real. That's why it's not lasting. It's not complex. If they love you, you'll know they love you. You won't be asking your friend. It's a red flag when you're asking. Oh, this stuff is so deep. So the court says that you know, you don't even have to understand the truth. That there's a part of you that understands the truth for you called the Holy Spirit. And that part of you that understands the truth for you, let it bring you the truth. See, then I got to trust something beside my own ego. Okay, now, if you're down to paragraph 4, I'm going to hit 4 and 5. Okay, before I hit 4 and 5, let me throw the floor open for a minute to see if there's a question about anything that you've heard.
So what if your words are saying one thing and your heart's saying something else, but you won't admit it? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, the result is showing you what you want in your heart, so therefore you'll never really hide anything from yourself because your physical reality is a reflection of what you believe you deserve in your heart. So you might be saying positive, loving things about yourself, but unless you're seeing positive, loving experiences and people in your life, you're lying to yourself about what you're asking for in your heart.
Yeah.
Because what you ask for in your heart will physically manifest in your perceptions. So there's no way you can be really wanting love, and you know you really want love, and you know you really want to give it, and you're walking around saying, where is it for me? In your heart, you're afraid of it. In your heart, you're afraid of it. And you're afraid of it based on some experience that you had in the past. So you're asking for it because it sounds sane to ask for it, and a part of you really does want it. But if in your heart you're afraid of it, it won't come to you out of respect and love for you. Because why would the universe send you something that frightens you? It's your fear that brings fear. It's not the loving part of you that brings you fear. It's the fearful part of you that brings you fear. It's the anger part of you that brings you attack. It's the jealous part of you that brings you loss. There's no such thing as love bringing fear and innocence bringing guilt and lack bringing abundance. It doesn't work that way. Abundance brings abundance, lack brings lack. It's the same, it's the same, it's the same, it's the same. So if in order to have it, then I got to be it. In order to be it, I got to let go of everything that stops me from being it. And I reprogram myself through the words I use to facilitate concentration so that I finally start focusing on what's true about myself and what I really deserve so I can have it. And everybody that helps me do that are my saviors. And everybody who doesn't and who are actively opposing that, they're my saviors too. Because they're giving me another opportunity to choose once again. They're giving me a chance to see if I really mean anything I say. How can I say I deserve more love, but yet I'm staying in this relationship that is only abusive?
Yeah.
You know, it's my way of knowing that I'm lying to myself. In my heart, I think I deserve punishment.
Yeah.
I might be asking for peace, but in my heart, I think I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
My vibration will become so opposite to that situation that I will be propelled away from it even if I wanted to stay. The good news is, that means that if everything you are experiencing is a result of the way you've used words in the past, then all you have to do in order to have a new experience that is more enjoyable is give yourself new meanings, and the Course is a book full of new meanings.
You just take one and pass it.
Let me take a little hat on over here. Do not focus on what you think you're unhappy about, what's going on right now that you've done as a result of the words that you've had. What I want to ask you to do right now is to focus on the fact that you have the power of decision. You have the power of decision right this moment, and by you having the power of choice right this moment, then you can choose to see it differently from this moment forward. And the cool news is this. The universe wants to help you have the things that you deserve and the things that you love. So you'll get a lot more help in going for the love and happiness than you ever had going for the fear and the conflict. It will not take you as long to move into the new world of perception as it took for you to learn the old way of looking for it.
Yes,
it will not take as long to go into the loving space as it took to get you in the conflict space.
All right.
Because the universe loves you and the universe wants to help you achieve the loving state. You had to do the fearful state all by yourself and with some very select buddies.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You had this group of people that you used to keep yourself miserable with, and it usually wasn't more than four or five.
That's true.
We have the people that we use to keep ourselves miserable with as long as we think we deserve to be miserable, and we make those relationships special. One day, when you wake up and you realize there's never been more than two or three people making you unhappy, and most of those are because of what you told yourself is going to trip you out.
Yeah.
Because when people say they're unhappy, they're usually talking about two or three things. They're never really talking about a whole lot of stuff. If they're miserable about relationships, you could be able to say, no, you're really miserable about a relationship.
Yeah.
It's not a whole lot of things making you miserable. It's just that they're magnified to such an extent that they cover your whole perception, and now you think your whole life is that thing. But it's just concentration. I love that. So the Course says, well, how do you get out of that? He says, well, first of all, there's a lot of people that don't know how to go within and listen to their inner guidance. There are a lot of people who don't even know how to listen in silence. So then you have to speak to these people. You see them all the time. Right? He says, well, what do you do? Well, how do you speak to these people? Well, he said, you gradually, and this is the key term, he says, gradually, you got to learn how to let your words be chosen for you. So that's different. He says, you got to gradually learn how to listen to yourself. I'm not talking about the little self sitting in the chair that doesn't even know what it's going to be doing 3 hours from now. It just has plans. We use plans to keep us unaware that we don't know a damn thing. Yeah, plans are just a smoke screen to keep you from realizing you don't have the slightest idea what's going to happen today. So you have to make a plan because it's too frightening not to think that you know, to tell the truth, there's not a person in this room that knows exactly what's going to be happening 1 hour from now. Not one.
Yeah.
I would venture to say. So when the Course says, let your words be chosen for you, it's talking about let the part of you that put you here, that knows who you are, that created you, that loves you, that has the big picture, like the guy in the helicopter at the 5 o'clock news trying to tell you that 10 blocks down there is a wreck, it's fear, and I-25. Now you don't see it. You can look stuff in the car, right? You don't have no idea. You think you're going to be home in about 20 minutes, kicked up in front of the TV, right? Now, if you cut off the radio, you didn't get the information, you get stuck in traffic. I learned how to listen to information from the higher perspective, and guess what? I pull off the Spirit Boulevard and I get home. That's the way it works, y'all. You're not listening to the helicopter. You drive in the car, you're driving your little butt off. You even have six disc CD players. And I'm going, the hell you going? You know what I'm saying? Don't know how to drive the car, right? But don't know where you're going and don't know what's ahead. I know how to drive the car, right? But I don't know where I'm going and I don't know what's ahead. So this guy shouldn't be the one that I'm listening to that's in the car that can only see a block ahead. You understand what I'm saying? So the Course is saying there's a higher perspective. Learn how to listen to yourself and then hear what yourself is saying and then speak that. And that's a loving self. Okay, the book is telling us everything step by step. He says, in other words, as you said, I'm going to step back and let God lead the way. I'm going to step back and let my higher self lead the way. I'm going to stop reacting and start taking a breath, going within, asking myself, what should I say? And you have enough truth in you. You know you do. You know you got enough truth in you to tell yourself something other than what your ego is telling you when it's ready to go off.
Yeah.
Everybody in here does. Mm-hmm. Everybody in here knows that they pause for a moment and sincerely ask themselves what would be the best thing to say in this moment. They're going to come up with something better than they would have come up with on an impulse that was rooted in anger. Well, how can I tell if it's God? Well, first of all, it won't be telling you to kill them. This is God. Kill them. Kill them all. What did they do? They didn't come on time for dinner. Kill them. Kill them dead. How did I tell was that the voice of God? Was that really sweet? Was that who I think God told me that to kill him? Like, we act like we don't know. Should I forgive him? I don't know, girl. What do you think? Should I forgive him? Of course you should forgive him. Should I go for my joy and what really makes me feel peaceful and fulfilled within? Yeah, I'll go. But that's a scary prospect if you're out of contact with the helicopter. You know what I'm saying? Like, step out on faith. All of a sudden, oh Lord, step out on faith. I'm used to stepping out on my delusional plans that never work. How do I know? Well, it never satisfied me for any length of time. How do I know? What I'm seeking right now. How do I know? Because where I am right now is the result of my best decisions. So the Course says in blazing letters in one part of the book, resign now. I love it. It's like, resign now as your own teacher. Which you will surely do when you honestly evaluate the results of this course. I said, whoo, that's cold. That's cold. I said, it's not a theoretical issue here, brother. You know, look at your level of peace and resign. Oh, buddy. So the Course says you accept the words that are coming to you in your heart, and then you give the words as you receive the words that are coming to you in your heart. You don't control the direction of your thinking. What does that mean? It just means I listen to what myself is saying, I hear what myself is saying, and I speak it. I speak it, and I know I'm not responsible for your reactions to it. I am not responsible for your reactions to it. I am not responsible for your reactions to what I say. I am not responsible for your reactions to what I say. I am not responsible for your reactions to what I say. Don't you tell me that I hurt your feelings. I am not responsible for the way you react to something I say. You are hurting your feelings by the meaning you're giving to what I'm saying. You're hurting your feelings about what I'm saying. You're hurting your feelings about what I'm saying. Because if I've got to be always overly concerned about your feelings, I'm not going to give you an honest expression of what I'm feeling in the moment, and you will never know what's really going on with me if I got to say it the way that I can imagine that you would be okay with it. I can have the intentions of saying what I'm saying from a loving space. I can have the intention of not wanting to hurt your feelings. I can have the intention of wanting you to have peace. But I cannot be responsible for your reactions to what I say, or you will never hear what I say. You will never know what's going on with me. You'll never have an honest relationship with me. And you're going to be shocked when I do something that comes from my honest self because you never let me express it. So, you listen, you hear, and speak. Now, he says, now the main problem with that comes up for people is that they become afraid about the validity of what they're about to say. It's like, I'm hearing this stuff, but how can I be sure it's really the right thing to say? I'm hearing this stuff, how can I tell it's really coming from God? And also, what I'm hearing is kind of startling. And then it says, and as a matter of fact, it looks like the answer that I'm receiving from Spirit is totally irrelevant to the problem that's being presented. It looks like what I'm being told doesn't have nothing to do with the situation as the situation is happening right now. And the court says, also, you may be confronted with a situation that appears to be very embarrassing to you. It's like, oh my God, I got to say this? Oh no. You know, I'm confronted with a situation that seems embarrassing to me. It looks like the answer I'm going to give you has no relevance. And what I just heard is startling.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, if you say you can't pay your bills, and I say you need to learn how to forgive. There's no obvious correspondence to those two things. Because most people don't know that grievances are always at the root of any lack. So, if you have a lack, you have a grievance. You don't have the lack because you're a woman and there's an income ceiling. I don't have a lack because I'm black. You don't have a lack for any exterior reason that you're coming up with. Any lack comes from separation and fear and grievances.
Wow.
See, that sounds like it has no relevance to the situation that a person thinks that they're going through, and it looks like they can't pay a bill. And when you say that to them, it won't mean anything to them. Just like what the court said, some of the things that you're told to say may not seem to have any relevance in terms of the problem, but it really is the answer. It really is what you need to say. So it might even seem like it's embarrassing, but as long as you're coming from your heart, then you know that you're doing the right thing. If your intent is love, then you're not responsible for somebody's reaction to what you say. Be sure what you want, and your doubts will disappear. You have to be sure what you want. If I walk up to you and I'm sure that all I want is peace for you, and all I want is peace between us, then when I share something with you, then I am going to feel like I'm sharing the right thing because I know I'm coming from what I really feel in my heart. I'm sorry you took it that way, but you need to know I'm not in love with you. Maybe you don't feel good behind hearing that, but that's what's going on in my heart. I could never have the kind of relationship with you that you really want, for example. See what I'm saying? I'm saying it from my heart. The person may be heartbroken, but that really is the most loving thing I could share with them. So what you hear and what you speak are not going to necessarily be something that the person is going to always like to hear what you got to say, but it's the best thing that you could say because that's what you feel in your heart. Then the court says, you know, and even if you tell yourself that you can't really do it and you can't really talk about it and you're really not smart enough and you don't know enough, he says, don't pay no attention to that. That's coming from a shabby self-perception. That's coming from an old idea about yourself that's all screwed up, that's not true, that you've been telling yourself this story for as long as you've been here. And so the court says, that's a perception you're trying to leave behind. It like, is Earl. I mean, there's Earl Shabby perception. Of course, that's the one I'm trying to leave behind.
Yeah. Thank you.
He said, you got to leave that shabby self-perception behind. He didn't say fix it. He said abandon it. And some of y'all will have abandoned shabby self-perception. And then you don't want to go, that's my problem now. I have abandonment issues. So I can't abandon my shabby self-perception. Sorry. Of course, there's no, you're good at abandoning. Abandon. That we're great at abandoning. We're great at walking away from stuff. We're great at abandoning. You didn't do it right, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm good at abandoning. Don't tell me abandonment is hard. We can abandon just like that. Come on, y'all know we can do some good abandon. We can do some abandon now. Come on now. So I'm saying this is good abandon. This is healing abandon. This is the kind of abandon that will take you to prosperity and abundance and joy. Abandon yourself, your shabby self-perception that would tell you that it's not okay to speak from your heart. It's not okay to speak from your higher self. It's not okay to listen, hear, and speak. It's not okay for you to be real, to really share what's really going on. Abandon the perception that tells you that.
Boy, you are on a roll, brother.
I tell you, it's like, I want the real world. I want to be in a world where I'm surrounded by people that I trust.
Yeah.
and that I feel safe with, and they want more than to get from me, and I want more than to get from them, and it's really about loving each other, for real. But it's not something we keep reading about in these books. I want to have the physical experience of it in my body, in this world. And I don't want it to be something that's just talked about for an hour, and then I walk out of that door, and I go right back into the insanity again of separation. Not me. So I'm trying to remember how to get out. And he's telling me, well, let me tell you how to get out. The way you get out is to stop judging the words that come to you. Stop judging the words that come to you. But offer them in confidence. If this is coming to me from my heart, I'm going to offer it to you in confidence, because these words are far wiser than my own, and I have God's power behind my words. I have God's power behind my words because I have the desire for love behind my words. I have the desire for peace behind my words. And that peace energy that you're feeling from me, that desire for love that I want you to feel with me, that will lift my words from meaningless symbols to the power of God himself. It don't matter what I'm saying to you when you feel the love behind it. That's what he's saying. You know, if you're coming from your heart, if you're coming from your higher self, if you're really listening to yourself and you're honoring yourself and you're leaving your shattered self-perceptions behind you, then when you offer these words are going to be wiser than your own, and your higher self is going to take these words and raise these words from meaningless symbols to the call for love itself. And they feel what you're saying behind your words, and that transforms them, and it transforms you, and the situation is healed. The words don't play no role, it's your heart.
Yeah. Woo! Woo!
It's your heart. Yeah. Nobody's going to ask you for a date if you're a sour puss looking person. You know what I'm saying? You got to be inviting. You got to be invited. It's so funny. It's like we have this mystery. Like, where are no people like me? You look like you can kill them for 2 cents. You haven't smiled in 10 months. Nobody the same is walking around pleading for a dysfunctional person.
You know?
You really know how to love. You know, they, please give me a woman that knows nothing but barriers and fear of men. Please. Please, Lord, send me somebody that don't know how to give no love, and they got to prove myself every second based on who she was with before. Please, Lord, I really want it. They blame, they project, they don't take responsibility for nothing, and they think men are after just one thing. Please send me one of those. You're saying you want somebody that's open and loving and responsible and conscious and listening. And it's not hard to pick them out because there's so few. It's not like, how can I choose one? There is no contrast here. You have to be patient. Because when you first change your order from the kitchen, they might bring you the old one for a while. And every time the old order comes, you have to say, oh no, I changed that to fish now. I did used to order chicken, this is okay. But you used to order chicken all the time. As a matter of fact, Earl, we brought you chicken before you even ask. Because we know what your taste is. See, you can get in such a habit that it just comes to you without you even saying anything, because it's what you always order. So at the beginning, when you're ready for something new and the old order come up, you have to go, I'm your old order. No, thank you. I'm your old order. No, thank you. I'm your old order. See, you gotta learn how to recognize the old order in every disguise it shows up in, so you can keep saying no until the new order descends upon you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
They call me and say, all my orders on the way. You can even track your order. And it's not stalking either. I was just, oh, no, I wasn't stalking her, Your Honor. I was just tracking my order. I was just seeing how close it was to the house. How did you get a GPS and a thong? It wasn't easy. It didn't work with that way. Alright, I'm going to stop right now. But I still have freedom. So, just now that yourself even hearing that much with me, Holy Spirit. You might want to try it. I used to think the angrier I got at somebody, the more they would want to do what I was saying. And then I had relationships where the person would seem to do what I said out of my anger, which falsely programmed me to think that that worked. Yeah. And when somebody takes their power back, after you fake yourself into thinking you have the power over them, it freaks you out. When you realize the power was just a gift. They just let you look like you had some control. And all of a sudden they go, no, I'm kind of through now. I mean, you freak out. What? You know, what? He was doing what I say. He was always doing what I say. Yeah, but I thought I was getting something out of it, too. Now it's just, sorry, just nothing coming out of this song. Sorry. Give me some money. I'm the one that creates my abundance. I'm the one who does it. Thank you for sharing with me and with Unity Temple. Also, even how when we're together, we hear it at a whole nother level. So I'd like to challenge you to leave out here today and ask yourself, what am I asking for in my heart? And in case you don't know what you're asking for in your heart, remind yourself that the physical reality that you see yourself as being in is a reflection of what you're asking for in your heart. And then instead of beating yourself up if it's something you don't like about it, just realize you have the power of decision, and then you need to get quiet, go within, ask yourself, you can call it God, you can call it higher self, Holy Spirit, ask yourself what you should do, where you should go, who you should speak to. We got to learn how to listen to the helicopter of God. We got to learn how to get in touch with that part of us that can see beyond what we can see.
I like that, the helicopter.
Yeah. And when you use that analogy, it will make it all make sense to you. You know, when you're driving your car, which is a very cool skill, you still can't see 5 blocks ahead, and it helps if you get some information. So then I go as a human being self. You know, well then what is, because a human being is cool. I'm not putting down being human. I'm just saying that the way we do human is hasn't been a barrel of monkeys or fun. Okay? So the course is saying to us, pain comes from not listening to yourself. Pain comes from not listening to yourself. Pain comes from not listening to yourself. Pain comes from not listening really to yourself and what you really feel in your heart, and letting your fear direct your actions so that you're living from your security center and not from your heart center. You're doing everything in terms of what you think is going to make you feel secure, and you're not doing anything from the level of self-fulfillment and self-expression. And your real joy is going to come from expressing your heart's desire.
Wow.
Okay? That's what I want for you. That's what I want for you. You want that for me too? All right. Okay, I'm going to say affirmations for about a minute. Please go to the website and sign up on the mailing list. I'll be doing spontaneous afternoon midday workshops. And so sometimes I just be letting people know, hey, guess what? Spirit told me I need to do something this afternoon. It's going to be deep. And tell you what's happening. So let me be able to contact you. I'm going to do the unspeakable. I'm going to be spontaneous. I'm really planning to be spontaneous. Who comes crew one step behind you. Rather than resisting or trying to get rid of lower thoughts, instead of resisting or trying to get rid of ego thoughts, simply place thoughts of a higher nature right by their side. It goes something like this. I have fear. I have anger. I have insecurity. I am love. I am peace. I am abundant. So rather than trying to get rid of my ego thoughts, I place some more thoughts right beside. Oh, Earl doesn't deserve abundance. Well, I'm going to put the thought of Earl does right by. Earl does.
No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. See what I mean? See what I mean? So you're getting ready to go out. Before you go, there's a little ritual that I want to do. Can you tell me about? Allison.